This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are having a good time here at the bar at Moynihan Train Hall. Right across the street from the Garden where the Big East tournament is tonight. Let's see. I want to get the games right. It's UConn against Marquette. I'm a big Danny Hurley fan. Do you want to know how old I am? I covered Danny Hurley. I was a Seton Hall color broadcaster on the radio when Danny Hurley played for Seton Hall.
Ray Rowe.
Oh, wow. Really? I did not know that.
And the play-by-play guy was the late Warner Fusell.
Wow.
Who was the voice of This Week in Baseball after Mel Allen.
You really pull it all together.
I really do. And then you have Creighton against Xavier. And we had on Val Ackerman, the commissioner of the Big East, and she said that she thought they were going to get five teams in the tournament. So that's a good thing.
Trying to see what's happening right now.
Where?
Around college basketball.
Interesting. All right, we've got a couple of things that we want to hit. First of all, the Knicks yesterday lose their second in a row. But more importantly, did they lose Jalen Brunson for a long time? Brunson had a great first half after missing two games with that sore left foot. Came back, felt good, scored 19 points, didn't play in the second half. That is somewhat problematic. We'll see if it's long term. If it's long term, then I don't think the Knicks are a sure thing to finish in the five spot, because I think the Nets are better, although the Nets decided to rest everybody and lose to the Bucks last night. But they will, in fact, play the Timberwolves in Minnesota tonight. But yes is showing right now that Brunson was in obvious pain, and that's going to be a big loss. He's the reason that they're having the season, and we'll see exactly what it is. They thought they had it settled down, that it was strong and it was proper for him to play, but just one half, and he felt it again, so he was out. And we'll see. But one thing that I took notice of, listen, we try to follow as much as we can, but we certainly have to follow the New York teams. Sacramento is really good. That's the best team that you don't really know that much about. I mean, they got players that are fast and athletic and energetic, and they run the floor, and they were blowing out the Knicks at the half, which doesn't really mean anything. Knicks charged back, and they actually tied the game at one point. They had a chance, and then, Peter, it was a Randle handle.
High crossover, trying to do too much. Didn't even look like he had to in that spot, and decided to try to take it all himself, and ends up losing it and losing the game.
He does dribble up here, and it doesn't seem like he has a real...
Well, he's 6'10", right? I mean, like, it's hard to have a good handle at 6'10", period.
Right.
Like, you can name the players...
Luka.
LeBron.
Right.
Like, there are guys who are really can be that height and do it, but for the most part, that's a tough spot to be in. And when you're trying to do too much, as he tends to do, it's just weird that we all are also aware of it. And either they're not coaching him up on it, or he's unable to change, or he doesn't think it's a problem.
But maybe they do know, and they don't want to take that away from him. That's part of the reason that he's good. I think it really rears its ugly head at the end of a game.
Yeah,
where defense tightens up.
I don't feel like I ever see him being successful when he tries to do that much. I feel like he's a better player when the ball's not in his hands constantly.
That's why he's a better player this year, because Brunson gets him the ball where he needs to get it. But when Brunson's not in there, although he was in... Yeah, he wasn't in there against Boston.
No.
He missed that game, but against Miami as well. Brunson got him the ball, and he dribbles too much. He just does. It's hard to argue with his game, though, because he's been phenomenal. But, boy, that's a real stark problem.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, players have their flaws. I think most teams in this league would still want Julius Randle on their team. He's a big-time player who does a lot well. He just, at the end of the game, by the way, I don't even mind him getting the shot. I just don't want him creating it himself.
Right. But that's part of his game, is he creates it, and that, maybe they don't want to take that away from him.
Or no, or maybe it's the fact that other teams want to give that to him.
Could be.
They say, go ahead. We'll take one-on-one with Randle, no problem.
And because they know they'll just help weak side, and they'll strip him the ball. That's what the Celtics did. That's what Miami did. And, you know, he hit that thrilling shot that's going to go down as one of the great moments of the Knicks season against Miami. Almost lost the ball twice in that one play.
It was a miracle. But now the real test comes for the Knicks team, because Tuesday was just one random loss.
Right.
Now, I would argue, we didn't talk on Wednesday. I was disappointed in that loss on Tuesday, Michael, because it was such an obvious letdown spot.
Yep.
That's the part that bugs you a little bit. But, hey, not a huge deal. Go out, start the road trip against a really good Sacramento team who I think was, what, 12 games over 500 going into the game.
Right.
And earlier, with all due respect to the caller, who was it? Was it Spike? No. Who was it who called? Oh, it was Richard. Who the hell was it? Someone called up earlier and said, you know, they're getting it done in Sacramento without star players. De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are star players.
They're star players. We don't know that much about them. They are superstars.
If you had added De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis to right. what they're doing in New York right. right now, we'd be having a different conversation.
And you know what? You also have the question, Indiana. Sabonis, to me, is a stud that they didn't use right in Indiana. Now, they ended up getting Halliburton for him.
And Halliburton,
it was great. He made the All-Star team. And you could say, well, he and De'Aaron Fox kind of play the same position. So you had to get rid of one of them. But trading Sabonis is big. And that's big, big for Sacramento. Mike Brown, the coach, is doing a great job there.
So, okay. So you eat the loss to Sacramento. They played hard, came up short. Okay. Still no panic or anything. But now you have L.A., and Portland before coming home for Denver.
And L.A. is back-to-back.
Right.
So you got the Clippers Saturday, the Lakers on Sunday. And, you know, Spike said it doesn't matter because they don't travel. That's not the problem with back-to-backs. The problem is playing two games in a row.
Yeah,
just is.
Because they're resting people on back-to-backs at home.
Right.
So, and you can't really is Anthony Davis going to play?
I think so.
So he's supposed to play. You cannot take that for granted. That's not a complete gimme. Sunday.
I would rather they be the Saturday game. Because I think the Clippers are good enough to just beat them straight up. And then they're going to be tired in the second game of back-to-back play. A Lakers team that maybe they beat if that's the first game. But will they be compromised because it's the second game? And will Brunson miss both of the games?
Right. So if you're compromised, if you don't have Brunson especially, I hear what you're saying. You'd be better off with the Lakers on Saturday night. Get that win because you might lose to the Clippers no matter what.
Right.
And then they get, what, one day off before Portland?
I think it's one or two. I think it's two.
Because Portland is not a great team.
It's two because then the next game is Saturday against Denver.
Okay. So it's not a great Portland team, but as you said earlier, you never know what night you're catching Damian Lillard on.
He could put 60 on you.
Maybe 70.
Maybe 80.
Well, he hasn't done that yet.
But he could.
I suppose you're right.
All right, this hoops recap, Peter. Brought to you by Bet365. Download the app today, and I'm going to talk about my beloved Fordham again. Fordham defeated LaSalle 69-61 last night at Barclays Center. They will face Dayton in the semifinals tomorrow. All right? That's at 3:30. And they want their students to come back because they just took over Brooklyn. The Bronx took over Brooklyn. Do you realize that?
Unbelievable.
They turned the Barclays Center into Rose Thrill.
Tickets on SeatGeek.
And tickets are available on SeatGeek. Okay. Ed Cull, the Fordham AD, said, could you make that known? So I tweeted out, and I'm telling everybody, you can get them on SeatGeek.
There you go. You are a really good Ram.
I've been told that.
You're a better Ram than I am Terp.
Well, yeah, I mean, Terp was just almost like a start, you know, like an exit on the turnpike for you.
So was Fordham for you.
No, because I love Fordham.
Wait.
You didn't love Maryland.
You lived closer to Fordham than I'd lived to Maryland.
Well, but I'm saying that college for you was a stop on the turnpike. For me, that's my roots. My best friends in the world are people I made at Fordham. They're not your best friends, your Maryland people.
Yeah, sure. They're
in your rearview mirror. Yeah,
what do you mean? Jody's coming to town tonight. I'm literally having
my wife?
All of it. No, not your wife. My friend Jody is literally coming to town tonight.
And he's from
him
Maryland.
And my friend Jeff with a G.
Oh, hate that.
We all met on
SeatGeek.
3 South. Well, it was Geek. It was
right.
3 South, Centerville Hall, University of Maryland, Scholars Program.
Really? You?
I wasn't in Honors. I was in Scholars.
Well, that meant you could read?
Yeah, Honors was the real program. Scholars was like, a little better. Yeah, exactly. It was good. So, yeah, but we're gonna have some dinner tonight, and then we're going to watch Maryland play the late-night Big Ten game.
Oh, wow.
After a big win over Minnesota.
Boy, is Natalie in for a fun night.
Yeah. And then
three geeks watching their alma mater play.
And then, by the way, it gets better. Tomorrow we're heading out to UBS for Capitals Islanders.
Interesting.
And Brian Trottier night.
Did you call up Mr. Ledecky for tickets?
No, I called up Jay.
Wow. Now, I wanted to touch on this with you. I didn't know if you were going to do it in ENN.
Okay.
But they're talking about betting on scripted wrestling?
Yeah, but I've been very – I haven't dug that into the story.
So, I dug into it a lot today.
Because I thought they already have it. Like, FanDuel does have some – no, sorry, not FanDuel. DraftKings does have bets related to the pay-per-views. So I don't
– They put in where next couple of WrestleManias are to get it on the betting sites. And, you know, their answer to the fact that how could you let people bet on scripted things – because, I mean, the possibility of it being leaked or people telling people. And their comeback is there are betting sites that take Oscar bets. It's not scripted, but the result is known.
Right, same thing.
Right. But
once the result is known.
Those geeks with the briefcase are the only ones who know who's going to win the Oscars. There's a lot of people that have to go into a storyline of the WWE.
Right, right. That would be very interesting. How would they – and have you read at all about how they would try to – deal with that?
Yeah, they said that they would have a firm, like, you know, whatever, something Waterhouse, and they would guard the result, and they wouldn't tell the wrestlers until right before they go in the ring, like immediate as they're climbing up the ropes. This is the way it's supposed to end.
Well, it's very interesting. I will say there's offshore betting already exists on it. I know. I see the lines come out,
right,
and you will see the smart money come in. On like a Sunday morning, like on a pay-per-view morning, you'll see smart money come in. So it would be hard. They'd have to really be tight.
It's smart, though, because, I mean, the amount of money the NFL and all these sports are making from gambling, you know, Vince McMahon saying, I want me some.
Well, and also, and wrestling fans know, if you're a big wrestling fan, you know the way the stories go.
Right.
Right? So if Roman Reigns, for example, at the last pay-per-view, premium live event, I should say, Elimination Chamber, Roman Reigns had a match against Sami Zayn. Everyone watching who knows what's going on knows Roman Reigns is going to win. So you can make him a -900 favorite.
Right.
And it's a reasonable sort of betting thing. And every once in a while, you'll get swerved and you'll lose, just like if you decide to bet in regular sports and it's a huge favorite.
It's going to be interesting. I think it's fascinating.
We'll see.
It's a good play on their part, but I want to see how they pull it off. And then we have some diamond notes brought to you by London Jewelers. We found this out after the game yesterday, so we didn't even discuss it on the game, but Harrison Bader looks like he has some kind of oblique injury, and that scares me because those take a long time to heal. When you consider what a baseball player does by swinging the bat, the torque that he creates on his torso, and how tough it is for an oblique to heal, that's scary. They can ill afford to lose Bader, who's going to be a big part of their offense, and obviously he's an outstanding center fielder as well. That is something to watch out for, and I'll repeat what I said a little bit earlier. You know, just being down in Tampa the last couple of days, Volpe has lived up to everybody's expectations and more. In his first big league spring training, where he's in that locker room with the guys, he has showed his skills. He's handled himself in a professional manner. And although he's not on the 40-man roster, there is, in fact, a chance for him to make the team. I wouldn't say it's a great chance, but they are not eliminating that chance just because he's 22 years old. And he's not on the 40. So he could play his way on, which is amazing.
But you don't think we'll see Dominguez?
No, he's not yet.
Not all year.
Who knows? I mean, if he dominates AAA, you could. I mean, I always think the Yankees kind of overcook their prospects while other teams undercook them. And then you have the Braves who call up 21-year-olds. And then the Astros, Peña, won the World Series MVP, taking over for Correa. So,
I mean, how old was Soto when he got to Washington?
Yeah,
20?
He's a baby.
19?
Yeah. And San Diego now has a catcher who's one of the top prospects in baseball. He's 16 years old. He's in spring training, and he's not going to make it this year, but they think he's close. That's how good he is.
He's 16?
16 years old. That's when the Yankees signed Dominguez, when he was 16. But he started off slowly, and then COVID knocked a whole year of maturation out of him. But he looks like he's close to being ready, so... That's a stud prospect the Yankees have.
I mean, is there a bigger prospect in baseball than Dominguez?
Volpe.
Volpe's the only one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are others, too. I mean, there are pitchers. Volpe is not considered one of the top 10, but he's in the Yankees. He's probably second best Yankee prospect.
Wow.
That's Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. And I also thought that Aaron Judge has a way of making himself heard without yelling. We should all learn that. And he did an interview and he said, I just think that if you're good enough to help the team win a World Series, it shouldn't matter what your age is. So he's sending a message. If Volpe's good enough, I don't care if he's 22. If Dominguez is good enough, I don't care if he's 20. The best players, best 26 players, should be brought up north to opening day. So I don't know who he was specifically talking about, but that's a strong – I mean, he's the captain of the team now. He's the face of – one of the faces of baseball. Our great television producer, Anthony Greek, sent me this little interesting nugget. It concerns
gambling.
Times of finished games today.
Okay.
All right. Mets and the Astros, 224. Yankees and the Tigers, 228. Rays and the Braves, 243. Pittsburgh and Philly, 234. Boston and Toronto, 224. Now, Italy and Chinese Taipei played in the WBC. And Chinese Taipei won 11-7 without the clock, 3 hours and 58 minutes. And Korea and Japan's game, 4 hours and 4 minutes. If you don't think this works, you don't know what you're seeing. You don't know what you're watching.
Well, how can anyone argue that it wouldn't speed up the game? You can argue whether or not you like it.
Right.
You cannot argue if it's effective.
Right. It is effective. It's so effective that it's going to be one of the great parts of Rob Manfred's legacy.
By the way, you know when you're going to really know for you, when you are personally going to feel it?
When I'm home at 10:30 at night?
When you start walking in and really see what those times average out to be.
Right.
What is it now normally? You call a game at home. When do you walk in the door?
Well, last year, Major League Baseball games took 3 hours and 7 minutes. That was the average. Yankee games take longer because they score a lot of runs, and they have power pitchers. So the game starts at 7. So first pitch is thrown around 7:07. If it's 3 hours, that's 10. So I would, and then by the time you get to the point, I'd get into my house 11:30.
So it'll be really interesting to see if you're getting in
at 10:30.
At 10:45.
Well, Charlie might still be up.
Right.
Callie might still be up. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. So I think it's good for baseball. They've done a good thing here. I don't like the runner at second, though. Let's go back to the phones. Robert in Cedar Grove.
Robert?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
What up, Robert?
Yeah, I was saying that with the Yankees' woes, why don't they try for Trevor Bauer?
You tell me why they wouldn't. I'd like to know why you think they wouldn't.
I think they should be. I mean, years ago they signed Steve Howe, who was on cocaine charges.
Yeah, but he didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, but we don't know that. We don't know Bauer actually.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not adjudicating Trevor Bauer here. The pitching is at such a premium right now, all right? There's such a dearth of pitching, and no one is touching Trevor Bauer because he's considered radioactive. So I know the charges were dropped, but there's a lot there. I mean, people were surprised that the Dodgers signed him before these charges even were brought forward because of what he is and how he's been with teammates before. You got to be awfully desperate, and your fan base is going to be awfully angry if you sign Trevor Bauer.
It is never happening. We got a call on this yesterday. That's back-to-back days with people saying, what's up with Trevor Bauer? Pull it together, guys. It's not happening.
And if it happens, the team that does it has to do a lot of explaining.
Oh, no, no. I mean it's not happening here. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm saying there's no chance Cashman is dipping his toe into that.
They dipped the toe with Chapman.
And how'd it really work out?
Well, I mean, but, you know, He didn't save big games, but he was a good pitcher for them.
No, I know, but it didn't come without no controversy.
But not as much as you would think.
But
you think a guy like that is a lone wolf? There are people that don't care what you do as long as you can play. They don't care what you think Cleveland Brown fans cared that Deshaun Watson was signed? There was a couple of protests outside the stadium?
And
are a different breed, Peter.
And I made this point yesterday. That's why it's funny. When you look at the NFL, the Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson thing is the perfect example of what matters. Have an awfully checkered past as a human being, we'll give you the most guaranteed money in history. Have a couple of injury-laden seasons, not interested.
And I also think that one led to the other because Deshaun Watson gets $230 guaranteed $1 million, and Lamar Jackson goes, well, I want it.
And
that's more than anything why people are ignoring him. They don't want to give – they're probably so chapped at Jimmy Haslam for giving a fully guaranteed contract – they're not giving those out too easily.
And Deshaun Watson then shows up and doesn't look like Deshaun Watson.
Right.
For half a season, he really wasn't himself.
Let's go to Alan in the money truck. What's up, Alan?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Man, I wish I was there, man. You guys got to give a bigger heads up, like a 2 weeks, 3 weeks heads up. I wouldn't request it all.
Alan, I love you. Every day we spoke about it.
No, but it's only been
It was only for a week, though, since last week, not 2 weeks.
I think he's right.
Okay.
Next time,
we'll
give you more time, Alan.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. But I wanted to get into this. So, Peter, man, you're the man. I swear Griselda is probably the reason they got signed because of you, because your Sunday show. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you.
What's Griselda? Right. Help me out here.
Griselda is a record label out of Buffalo with a bunch of awesome artists.
And you advocated for them?
I've advocated for them, but a lot of people advocate for them. They're like
I got put on like 10 years ago because of Peter, though.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Peter's the best.
And then I was going to bring this up, though, because you guys were talking about all the Jets players rallying around Aaron Rodgers. And say if they don't get Aaron Rodgers and another quarterback comes, he'll feel slighted. I don't think he'll feel slighted because, Peter, I'm not, like, no offense, but, like, you know, Miss Hatton feel slighted that you're her second, like, she's the second wife? Like,
wow.
You didn't choose her.
Really?
Like, she doesn't feel slighted at all. And I'm sorry, if it's no offense, like, you know.
You're going very, very deep. It's a different circumstance, though. It's like if someone watches the video of someone begging to be with the other one, that might hit them a little different.
Oh, right. But I'm sorry again. I didn't mean, like,
none taken, Alan. Don't worry.
All right. Have a good one.
Alan, thank you, man. He is really, really angry. He's trying to cover it up right now. But if you were in front of him, he'd probably take a ball-peen hammer to your knee. That's a knife. That's not a knife. This is a knife. I can't believe she didn't say hello.
I'm sorry. I'm going to tell her right now.
She doesn't like me. I might not even make the cut at the wedding.
She's a huge fan.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Michael is upset.
Does she have a meter?
You didn't say hello.
Does she have a meter? Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go to John in Forest Hills.
Hi, Michael, Don, and Peter. I just wanted to weigh in. I'm an alumnus of St. John's, and also my son graduated from Fordham, so I wear two hats.
John, who do you think should be St. John's coach?
I think they're going to go for Speedy Claxton. I think they want somebody young. I think Patino, he's 71. I don't think he has the energy that he used to have. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they, you know, Keith Ergo's doing a great job, and I don't think they're going to poach on Keith Ergo, but I think Speedy Claxton is probably the guy they're going to go after.
Well, Claxton just signed, contracts don't mean anything in college, and we thank you for the phone call, John. He did sign an extension with Hofstra, and he's done a great job there. But you can't tell me Patino doesn't have the energy. 71 is not the same as 71 used to be. Jim Jim Boeheim was close with Patino, lasted until he was 78, 79 years old. So, no, I don't buy that at all. You can't sell me that he doesn't have energy. He would be instant box office.
Agreed.
He just would be instant box office. That's all there is to it. And, you know, we're talking about it. The Hoops update brought to you by Sam Adams Beer, Truly Hard Seltzer, and Truly Vodka Seltzer. This March basketball season, crack open a refreshing Sam Adams Beer, Truly Hard Seltzer, or Truly Vodka Seltzer, the official beer and seltzers of the Big East Conference. Sam Adams and Truly, enjoy responsibly. The Big East semifinals tonight at MSG. 11th-ranked UConn takes on 6th-seeded Marquette at 6:30, followed by 15th-ranked Xavier against 24th-ranked Creighton. You know, the thing that I always What is this? Adam Schefter is reporting the Bears are trading the number one overall pick to Carolina for pick number 9, pick number 61, a first-round pick in 2024, a second-round pick in 2025, and wide receiver DJ Moore.
So they're staying with Justin Fields.
They hung their banner on Justin Fields.
And Carolina will now get Bryce Young.
Well, one of the four. Maybe they like another one. Maybe it's not Bryce Young. Maybe it's Anthony Richardson, who's a wild card.
So you're telling me Sam Darnold's not going to be at the helm next year?
No, he still could be.
I mean, I guess they could start
a first-round pick right away,
Yeah, right. Yeah, who knows? Wow. How many picks was that total?
One, two, three, four. Four picks and wide receiver DJ Moore.
DJ Moore was in the deal too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a – I got to tell you, if you really like Justin Fields and you're Chicago, that is a brilliant trade.
And you can still get the player you want at number 9 too.
So exactly. If you knew you didn't want a quarterback, but you want someone bigger, you still get them at 9. Now you get Justin Fields, an awesome target in DJ Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And you get all the other picks. That's a great, great move.
So you like the move?
I really, really like that move. Yeah. I do. And I like Justin Fields. I see something there.
We can run, I'll tell you that.
It's not just that, though. Justin Fields, there's a sturdiness to him, even though he's a runner. I don't know. He gave me, ironically, Cam Newton vibes. Isn't Cam Newton's career an absolute anomaly?
Yeah, I don't get it.
In 2015, he legitimately, when you played against him, you felt he was unstoppable.
Right.
He threw the ball perfectly, could run when he felt like it, but didn't overdo it. He was like a perfect player, and it just died completely.
Yeah, very odd. I mean, I guess injuries could set you back. Also, that's what worries me. He wasn't a running quarterback like Justin Fields, but it was a big part of his game. And it worries me of Daniel Jones, too. You take that aspect away from that sort of quarterback because of an injury, they're not the same quarterback.
Well, Daniel has a quality that Cam had, which is he's fine getting hit.
Right.
Because the bigger guys, it's not only that they don't mind running. They don't mind putting their head down to try to get a first down because they know they're bigger than a lot of people.
Yeah, but it still wears you out.
And it still wears you out.
Yeah. Sometimes you're too big and you don't think you can be hurt. But all those blows lead to something.
Yeah, and you think I'm as big as these linebackers. Yeah, but they're teeing up on you. It's a different thing.
Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Joe.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
How are you?
How's everybody?
Good.
I hope you gentlemen are well, and I hope Don is well as well.
Thank you, friend.
Two things, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you a quick Jimmy Bayo story, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Jimmy Bayo joined two of his sisters on a ski trip back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Let me tell our listeners, Jimmy Bayo is Harrison Bader's uncle.
Who's an actor.
Right.
Right. And Jimmy Bayo obviously was famous on television at that time, years ago. So he joins two of his sisters on a ski trip. These are based out of a watering hole in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. I knew the two sisters. We went to the same watering hole. Jimmy Bayo accompanies two of his sisters on the ski trip. We had three, four, five busloads of people. Jimmy Bayo and his sisters board the bus. I'm in the back of the bus. Walk to the front of the bus, introduce myself, shake his hand. He's sitting down. I sit down next to him, and I give him a kiss on his left cheek, and somebody got a photograph of that.
Well, you just met the guy, Joe, and you kissed him on the cheek? Let's talk about this.
Well, people constantly question my behavior over my 66 years.
Yeah, I question this phone call, but wow. We appreciate it regardless,
wow.
Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Wow.
So I checked out about 30 minutes into that story.
Yeah.
The story was that he met Jimmy
and
Baio.
His two sisters on a ski trip.
And he kissed Jimmy
Baio. He went up and introduced himself to Jimmy and said, "Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, baby?"
And then kissed him on the
and
cheek.
And sat down next to him, kissed him on the cheek.
That was the whole story?
I think, yeah. It's kind of where he lost me, too. But why would you do that to somebody you just met?
Well, and then years later, why would you call a radio station and talk about it?
Let's go to Dan in Westfield.
Wow.
Hey, guys. Regarding Petito to St. John's, it's my understanding from someone very close to the situation of the family that his contract is structured to where the buyout is incredibly expensive, and he's not going anywhere soon.
Now, if you had told me St. John's doesn't want Rick Pitino, then I would say, okay, maybe you know that, but Rick Pitino is not going to sign a contract that the buyout would be so onerous that St. John's couldn't buy out an Iona contract? Come on.
Like I said, someone very close to the situation. I didn't believe it when I first heard it, but considering the source, it must be a staggering number.
Well, I mean, Iona went out of its way to give him a chance when nobody else would. But
right.
He supposedly disenchanted with the fact that the Mac only gets one bid, and you have to win the tournament. If you slip up in the tournament like they did last year, you have no chance to get an at-large bid. So he wants to go to a bigger school. Although I will tell you this, Dan, and we thank you for the phone call. As I mentioned earlier, he said on this show 2 years ago that Iona was going to be his last stop. He was never going to go anywhere else. But remember, you have to take what coaches say with somewhat of a grain of salt, because Rex Ryan said that when he coached for the Bills, that was the last coaching job he'd ever had. But then he interviewed for the Broncos defensive coordinator job. So
it wasn't quite the end.
People say what they have to say in the moment, and then they say, well, I changed my mind.
Happens every day.
I'm not trying to be poly purebred here. When I say something,
it's law.
No, it's not law. I would have such a hard time and be embarrassed to go back on it I changed my mind. Well, if you say something with certitude and you don't leave yourself that little out, why don't you leave that little out? Why say, this is the last job I'm ever going to have? Well, how do you know that?
Yeah, it's so true. These situations come up. You don't have to say you're absolutely done.
Let's go to Derek in Binghamton. What's up, Derek?
Michael, Peter, how are you guys doing today?
Great. You?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, Peter, I got a what would you?
Okay.
Would you rather have your Commanders win the upcoming Super Bowl?
Okay.
Or you get the main event, WrestleMania, with Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Wait, Peter's in the main event?
Peter is in the main event with Roman Reigns as his tag team partner.
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and take Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Really? Instead of your Commanders winning?
I'm main eventing WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm taking that.
Wow, so it's all about you, isn't it?
You just said earlier the same thing. My fanship's about me, and this is – listen, I'm a big fan of the Commies, but I'm a bigger fan of me.
You are a big fan of you.
If you're not your own biggest fan, who is?
Maybe Miss Hatton.
She actually is a really huge fan.
Yeah.
It's very sweet how supportive
Jody's
she is.
Jody's not as big a fan of me as I would want. She doesn't watch
Honestly?
Yankee games. Yeah, she doesn't listen. I mean, she'll listen to the show if she's in the car for a moment, but it's not like it's on in the house all the time.
I will say – partners of people in this business, they get used to it quick.
It's more of an arrangement than a marriage.
No, Don. But
pink eye guy.
But
let's call him Peg from now on.
Pink eye guy?
Yeah.
But in the case of Miss Hatton, she's very supportive. She listens. She doesn't listen to this show much, though.
Really? No, she's not that supportive.
She watches it. She'll throw it on and have it on in the background while she's sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not really a sports fan.
Are you watching?
You know, we could get her a feed of just a one shot of you, because she doesn't want to see me and Peg.
I don't think she needs – we live together now. She doesn't need to see me constantly.
Yeah. It's going to really change.
We need to get an Al Bundy drop.
Jody just texted me and said, I'm a fan. Not really, hon.
But
so she actually is watching
it. But she's watching right now.
Or she must be in the car driving the kids somewhere, because she doesn't care.
So you think
Like during the judge chase and you make the calls and – did you hear the call? No, I was doing something.
That's very common.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Because you don't want her to be a – what do you want to be? You want to, every time you come home, she goes, hey, Michael, I'm a huge Yankee fan.
You don't think, like, Sylvester Stallone's wife watches, like, Tulsa King?
I think that's a little different. although I've been surprised. The amount of actors I've talked to recently who don't watch their stuff at all is wild.
Well, I can understand you not watching your stuff. I don't watch replays of games or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean, acting – we had Idris Elba on this week.
Good-looking guy.
Very. Sexiest man alive. He's
Paul Rudd wants to have a word with him.
Well, no. Idris was 2 years ago. You keep that title. That's not one you
Oh, so you don't lose it?
No.
So it's not like Rudd stands alone now?
No.
Oh, okay.
If I get sexiest man alive, I'm getting it for the rest of my life.
But because you still sign autographs as 24/7 champion, exactly. And you lost it.
Exactly. You take your accolade and you go. Idris Elba, I was asking about the biggest break in his career, and I asked if it was The Wire. He was Stringer Bell on The Wire for like 37 episodes. Never watched The Wire. Only knew the stories through what he did in the scenes.
I can see that.
It's wild, though, to be a part of something so historic.
I though, have seen Grown Ups 2 about 1,000 times.
And what an apt comparison between The Wire and Grown Ups 2.
I bet you Grown Ups 2 made more money
than
The Wire.
It's an easier metric. Did Grown Ups 2 do well?
Very well. I'm surprised it wasn't a 3.
I mean, and much like The Wire, it's considered maybe the best ever of its kind.
Well, my performance as Coach Romy.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Raleigh. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I just wanted to talk to you about David Wright and wondering if his odds of going to the Hall of Fame have increased since Scott Rolen is now inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I don't think he's going to make the Hall of Fame. I think because of injury, just like Mattingly, his numbers don't resonate the same, and he was not as great a third baseman as Scott Rolen. I think Scott Rolen got in, and we thank you for the phone call, because the understanding of defensive metrics now have gotten better, much better than they were in the past, and there's more of an appreciation of what Rolen did. Now, David Wright did win 2 gold gloves, 7-time All-Star, and a .296 lifetime average. I just think because of the back stenosis, I just don't think he makes it, just like Mattingly didn't make it. Now, Mattingly might end up making it with a veterans committee, but I don't think David will. Hall of Fame type of guy, but his career really derailed because of injury. Both Mattingly and Wright goes to the back.
Yeah, it's tough. And, I mean, if Mattingly didn't go, Michael, as good as Wright was, he wasn't Mattingly.
No. Here.
By the way, Mattingly should be in. I just want to say that. He should be in.
Currently, Pitino has 3 years remaining on his current contract, reportedly pays him in a high six-figure range. So how big could the buyout be? But more importantly, Pitino had a buyout on his deal worth millions, something that played a part in preventing him from leaving for a job at a bigger program. I told the one job, it was a big-time job, I said, look, I've got a $5 million buyout. I had $10 million prior to that. I'm not worth that, Pitino said to CBS Sports. Pitino was offered 3 jobs that included 1 big-time job, which CBS Sports reports was the opening at Maryland. His buyout was a key reason why he did not move forward in the process.
Maryland wouldn't have come up with $5
million? I don't get it. The amount of money that coaches make?
And a school as big as Maryland? Yeah. That's surprising.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
They ended up hiring Kevin Willard, a former Gales coach and a friend of Pitino. But the longtime Pitino took steps to expand his coaching possibilities when he met with Iona president Seamus Carey, who eliminated his buyout last offseason.
Oh.
So according to Sports Illustrated, there is absolutely no buyout for Pitino. That's from a February 22nd Sports Illustrated story.
In other words, bye-bye Pitino.
You would think
so.
Yeah.
As Don would say, you flush it.
You missed Don or not? You don't. I get it.
No, I do. I always
get to talk more, right?
Yeah.
He's my friend.
You know, I don't always like talking more.
I get it. This Hoops preview is brought to you by Bet365.
I know.
Download the app today. Fordham defeated LaSalle 69-61 last night at Barclays Center. They will face Dayton in the semifinals Saturday.
You'll be happy to know that I got Ballard tickets to the Nova game yesterday, and they got trounced right in front of him. I'm sure you'll be happy to
is
know
he,
that.
Did he go to Nova?
Yeah.
Really?
You impressed now?
No.
Well, so why are you saying really like that?
I lost a little respect for Nova.
Oh, got it. No. He went there and is a big fan.
You know who else went there? A lot of people, by the way.
Yeah.
I believe
Rudy Gay?
Mike Breen's wife.
Okay.
And Tim McCarthy's wife.
Did they know each other?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think so. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. If you're getting out of work and going home on the train, stop by the bar at Moynihan Train Hall and come say hello. We'd love to see you. Let's go to Jonathan in L.A. Jonathan's not coming by. He's in L.A.
No. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of you guys since 2018.
Thank you.
And I've been a Yankees. I've been a Yankee fan since 1999. So here goes my question, Michael. So right now, since the rotation, I mean, they lost Rodon for a couple of weeks. Is it time to probably bring her mom back? You've seen him right there in spring training. What do you think about that? Also, another question for you, Michael. Planning to take, well, it's already booked already. So we're waiting. I'm going to take my son and my wife to Yankee Stadium opening day. We're so super happy. But
wow.
Unfortunately, I'm a miss WrestleMania. And the last time they were here was in 2005, WrestleMania 21. I was a little kid. I was planning to take my son. But instead, my wife's like, no, but you can take him to opening day. I'm like, yeah. So what would
Wait,
you
so
do?
WrestleMania is the same day as opening day?
Yeah.
March 30th?
No, it's actually,
no, next day.
So take him the next day. There's no game.
No, but the thing is that we're going to fly to New York. We're going to spend the weekend over there in New York to catch that series with the Yankees. But that Sunday is going to be WrestleMania here back in L.A. We're not going to come back till Monday.
Oh, I got you.
So are you going to make it back?
Oh, by the way.
You're not going to make it back for Sunday.
We were not going to make it back. Also, Peter, too, I was really trying to go to your event, your t-shirt event. But what would you do, Michael? But thank you guys so much. You guys are the best. And one more thing. Michael, please don't retire. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Jonathan, you're a nice man.
First of all, Domingo Germán is one of the starting five once the season starts. So,
by the way, Domingo Germán's good. I really feel like he gets taken for granted.
Yeah, I think you should text Aaron Boone that. He wants to hear that from you.
Why did you say that?
No, I think he would really be intrigued that you think that. So that might move the needle a little.
So why do you have to mock what I'm saying?
I'm not mocking you. I'm trying to be honest.
Why would Aaron Boone care? I think you're
Aaron
mocking
Aaron Boone
me.
Likes you.
I don't need to, like, push Germán up in the rotation. I'm just saying I think he gets talked about sort of like an afterthought, like just as a good piece to have around. I think when he's at his best, he's really, really good.
No, I mean, he has derailed himself in the past, so.
But
when he was doing well.
Sure he has.
Right.
But last season, there were spots he was really good.
No, and I think they've been very impressed by the way he came into camp, his serious attitude, his maturity that he's gained over the years, and they think he's going to pitch very well for them. I think when it was one spot open in the rotation, it looked like it was going to be him and Clark Schmidt would be in the bullpen. But now it's going to be Germán and Schmidt because they've lost two starters. And, you know, Montas probably not going to come back. If he comes back, it's going to be in September.
Right.
And they're hoping Rodon gets back sometime third week of April. But if not, those are the two guys now. Those are the two guys. I don't know if we have enough time. Jerry in Syracuse. You got about 30 seconds, Jer.
Hey, guys. When Boeheim became head coach at Syracuse, the first coach he hired was Rick Pitino. So Pitino was going on his honeymoon, and he said, no, you got to go to Cincinnati and recruit this guy. And it was Lewis Orr. So,
yeah, I've heard that story. And, you know, if you're going to make somebody miss their honeymoon, at least you team up Louis Orr with Roosevelt Bowie, and you got yourself a great team. So Jim Boeheim put him right to work, and it showed you that Rick Pitino didn't argue. He did it, so his future was in coaching. Hey, the bottom line is when you're a coach, you want to win a championship.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.